friend of mine lives in Los Angeles, where apparently this is a pretty big problem, more so than most other regions of the world and country. And he bought a house, and apparently it was just laden with mold. As a matter of fact, I think Ed McMahon won a major case where a house he owned also had a lot of mold. What causes it? Why is it there? And why are people have problems with this?
Well, this is, again, we could have a whole show just on mold. I've had dozens and dozens of cases in which I've investigated this problem. The reason the mold grows is that there are several reasons. One is that the mold will grow in walls where there's inadequate ventilation, and their moisture will accumulate, and the mold will grow. I mean, they can grow on just about any surface. Some of the best studies that were done actually were up in the Alaskan area among some of the Native Americans there who took the advice of people in the early 70s to make the houses as airtight as possible. And they were creating situations where mold was growing on the rafters of other houses. I mean, you could scrape it off with a paint scraper.
Oh, my God.
It was horrible. I mean, it was, let me tell you this. One of the well-known diseases, SIDS, you know, sudden infant death syndrome,
sure,
has been implicated as being caused by certain types of molds.
Maybe in the baby's room, right?
In the baby's room, right. So that's another example of an environmental disease that may be mediated by a disease, that is not known to be environmentally mediated, that is actually caused by environmental problems. But the mold there are various toxigenic molds. There's some that cause very severe inflammation in the pulmonary system. There's a mold called Stachybotrys, which once you find it, you know that you've got a very serious problem because it can cause bleeding into the lungs. A person can show up in the emergency room coughing up blood if they've got Stachybotrys in their home environment. Sometimes I was in charge of another case where we investigated faulty plumbing. There was material that was actually made of plastic that had not been installed properly and was leaking behind walls, and the water would get into these confined spaces and mold would grow. I investigated a case involving a multi-million dollar art collection down in Santa Fe, New Mexico, in which mold had permeated throughout the home because of a leaking hot water heater, and had also gotten on top of these paintings.
You can't smell it, can you?
No, you can smell mold.
You can?
Oh, sure. It smells moldy. I mean, you know,
I thought that means
sorry,
musty.
That's one kind of mold. I mean, certain molds don't have, are not easy to smell and recognize. But the typical, you know, kind of thing where you might have a sleeping bag, you know, after you've gone camping or something like that, and you haven't dried it out properly, you can get a sort of a moldy odor associated with that.
Like grandmother's house.
Well, sometimes it's not harmful, you know. It's your grandmother's house was damp.
Well, you just had that grandmother's house smell.
Grandmother's
you know,
house smell.
Old, you know, when you go to grandmother's house, you knew you were in her house.
You knew you were in her house. Well,
how do you get rid of it? I mean, can you bleach it?
Let's sort of narrow it down to a specific example. Let's say you get a call. I'll think of this example of the faulty plumbing pipes. And just imagine in that case, by the way, that becomes a product liability case because of the manufacturing of the plumbing, you know, material.
Right.
It becomes an environmental case because of the advent of the mold. You've got water damage. An exploding, cascading series of events which are surround, issues like mold. And I might add, most of the insurance companies today, I don't really want to name them, but there are some that we know very well, have excluded mold on their homeowners policies now.
Well, if they were paying out too many of their premiums out there.
That's right. I mean, those who are listening tonight, go and look at your homeowners policy. And you're going to see that there is an exclusion for mold because, as you said, it just got to be too expensive. But the way you get rid of it is you have to be very careful about removing it because you can spread it, for one thing, and you can also cause damage to the remediators.
But what do you mean you can spread it?
Well, because it's very small, fine particulates. So if you open up a wall and you start moving contaminated material around that's dry, it will actually aerosolize and come into the air and may spread to another part of the house.
Now, it's alive, right?
Well,
whatever this is.
It's alive, or it might be in a spore form, you see, which is essentially a dormant state.
What does it feed on?
It feeds on fibrous material, wood products, paper, which are found just about everywhere. Inside the wall, the wood itself is a food for mold. But
is it eating it? Is that what it's doing?
Well, it's using the material that's growing on as a nutrient. It's the ultimate parasite. I mean, it can grow on wood and paper, corpses, you name it. I mean, grows about everywhere. But what I started to say was that you can go in and remove it using chlorine bleach, and this is very effective for sanitizing these areas. But then, of course, you've got to be careful with the bleach, because the bleach can also cause pulmonary damage and damage to tissues if it's not applied properly.
I didn't know that either. It's almost like you're damned if you are and damned if you're not, huh?
Well, George, I can ruin any party, you know? I'll get invited to a party and somebody will corner me over there, and I don't really want to talk about it, and they ask questions.
You actually, somebody corners you at a party and says, can you tell me about mold?
Yeah, right.
Does that
happen? Happened a lot. And as I said, you end up ruining the party, because the poor person will walk out thinking that it's not safe to take a step anywhere.